All right, good morning. I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. It is September 30th. The time is 9 a.m. And if the clerk would, please, to roll call.
Congressman Keane.
Present.
Congressman Bickhorst.
Present.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congresswoman Rebar.
Present. The next item on our agenda is prayer, and I've asked the budget analyst Jordan to say our morning prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is the approval of minutes. Those are dated September 29th.
Chairwoman.
Yes, sir.
Just under the middle of the page, page two, says motion to quit. It says Owen is missing a 46.
Clerk, did you get that?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion to approve the minutes as amended.
Second.
There's a okay. Motion and a second. Thank you. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say yes.
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 Motion passes. The next item on our agenda is item number five, ONCR 2030, a resolution to set the compensation and reimbursement allowance for the boards and commissions of the Osage Nation for fiscal years 2021 and 2022. Congresswoman Shaw.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. As all of you are aware, this is required by law. The legislation is to fulfill the requirements of that law and set the stipends for all of the boards and commissions for 2021 and 22. Any questions?
Okay, is there any action from the committee at this time?
This is Alice. I have just a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Just wondering if any language was changed from the last resolution that was passed.
Congresswoman Good Fox, at this time, no. The only change that you will find is the removal of the travel stipend. The travel stipend on all of the boards and commissions now show zero.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments from the committee or Congress? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion recommending a due pass.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Congresswoman Big Horse, I make a motion to pass ONCR 20-30 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? If not, Clerk, can we have a roll call, please?
Congressman Bickworth?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Shaw?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman King?
Yes.
Congresswoman Rebar?
Yes. Motion passes. The next item on our agenda is item number 6, ONCR 20-33, a resolution to authorize a limited waiver of sovereign immunity from suit and consent to jurisdiction to Arvis Bank for treasury services to the nation. The sponsor is Congressman Big Horse. Mr. Big Horse?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was approached by the treasurer concerning this piece of legislation right here. And him and I have been in conversation over the past year concerning our loans and the position that we were in financially and have kept those communications up. Hopefully the trip, Mr. Treasurer, is on, because there are a lot of moving parts that goes along with this resolution. So if the treasurer is on, I would like for him to speak to this piece of legislation.
Chairman Rebar?
Yes, go ahead, Treasurer.
Yes, this piece of legislation is something that we feel like we need. When we received the PPP money and also the CARES money, it was determined that the best practice was to set up specific bank accounts. Therefore, we could track those two funds separately and not have to worry about any kind of commingling or wrong bank account information. And so Arvis Bank was very instrumental in helping us with the application process. And so we deposited both those amounts of money in two separate accounts with Arvis. Because these were short-lived processes, it didn't make sense to order checks. So consequently, we thought we could do electronic transfers. And to do their electronic transfer system to utilize it. They had an agreement that they sent to us. We passed that along to the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General's office found a couple of items in there that we normally have stricken from the agreements, but with that, we sent it back, and it came back, and we still, to be able to utilize their electronic transfer system, we are requesting that this limited waiver of sovereign immunity be adopted by Congress. What we've had to do, and specifically with all the checks that we're writing for the individual assistants, we have to take an amount of money, do a wire transfer request with RVEST, move it into our operating bank, American Heritage Bank, and then at that point, we have the check stock and also have the electronic, the approval for electronic transfers. So what we're trying to do is take that step out, which should help with distributions in the future, and also make it a lot simpler, quicker, and more accurate. So that's the reason we're requesting this, and Congressman Big Horse was kind enough to sponsor this bill.
Thank you, Treasurer. Is there any other questions from the committee? Okay, if not, would anybody like to take action on ONCR 2033?
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion to report ONCR 2033 with the pass recommendation to Congress.
Second, Brandy.
We have a motion and a second. All those, yeah. Yes. I'll repeat that. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay. The motion passes. Thank you, Treasurer. Thank you, Congressman Big Horse. The next item. Our agenda is ONCA 2084, an act to repeal the Regional Gathering Fund. I believe the sponsor has talked about this this week, and so I was wondering if the committee has any more discussion on this.
Second Speaker, this is Brandy.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I apologize if there's a lot of background noise. I'll be quick. Just about fail. I believe we're still waiting on some information as far as calculations go on what the actual total cost is to attend the travel that it is required. I mean, the travel spent on attending these gatherings. And so I'm still where I was yesterday. Until we have that information, I'm really not ready to take any action at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. Is there any other comments?
Chairwoman Rivard.
Second Speaker.
Yes, go ahead.
Is this for, oh, okay, I'll go ahead. This is Congressman Keene. I've been kind of going back and forth on this, and I think right now, obviously during a pandemic, we shouldn't fund it, but I think that repealing it, the bill, doing away with the possibility that we would ever fund it again is too heavy-handed. So I would actually be a no on this. So I just wanted to give my 2 cents, and that's all at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Congressman Keene. Is there any other comments or discussion?
Madam Chair, Congressman
yes,
Big Horse here. I too agree with Congressman Keene. I think this is a little heavy-handed. I do. We have the power of the purse. So if we, you know, don't like the amounts of money that, you know, that we're sending, you know, for these gatherings, then we can always change that. Now, what executive does, this bill here has no bearing on what executive does or doesn't do. So if one of the organizations calls for a gathering and they call the chief's office and invite them out and ask for a couple of departments to accompany him, we have no say-so over whether he does that or not, as long as he has the funding. So I'm really kind of hung up on this too. And I too am waiting on the cost of what it does, you know, when the executive does go out there, what it does actually cost. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Congressman Bickhorst. Are there any other comments?
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead, who?
Speaker, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Who, me, Angela, or?
Yes, Speaker, go ahead.
No, I want to see what I've heard Mr. Johnson speak, so I want to see what he says.
Okay, Mr.
Johnson. Yeah, I'm still here, Madam Chair.
Did you have something to say?
Yeah, if you'd allow me. Okay. I think it's fairly safe to say that the information that you want from us is whatever it costs to send a legislator to anywhere is what it costs to send an individual from the executive branch. So if it costs $2,000 to send a congressperson, then it probably costs $2,000 to send somebody from the language department or the cultural department, depending on whether or not, you know, obviously each one of those personnel aren't going to get a rental car, but they get one rental car for all of them to utilize. But in essence, it's basically the same. If it's for 4 days, they go for 4 days. That's airfare, hotel, per diem. I don't believe the per diem rates are any different for a congressperson than they are for a regular employee. I may be wrong on that, but I don't think so. And anyway, so that's really, you know, pretty much it.
Second speaker.
Go ahead, speaker.
Okay, thank you. Well, yeah, that's obviously, we read the same email this morning, so because that's why I'm kind of confused as to why people don't know how much it costs as far as like what it costs a person to go, because we know how much it costs for us to go, and that's between $1,500 to $2,000. Typically, between Congress, we allow $2,000 for travel, and if, as you've heard Congresswoman Goodfox and I say over the last several days, that if once we get our travel money, if we attend a gathering out of state right away, then if you're going to use that money for the congressional travel, which not every time every person does, but I would say 9 times out of 10 congressional money is used, that it costs, your $2,000 is pretty much exhausted. So it's between $1,500 and $2,000 per person. And so it depends. So then you would calculate that times the number of people. So I will pull up. That's why I don't really get what the confusion is on what the numbers is. You just times that times how many people. And then if you're, the employees are taking off, having to take off there on a Thursday or Friday, to be there for a Saturday meeting, then, you know, you could look at the cost that it that it might be to have that person not in the office, which is an expense to the nation. And then beyond that, so I'll pull up an agenda for a couple of the meetings and see, and then I'll also look at what the what's on the agenda, what offices they have going out. Just like one of the employees said, it costs us the same thing as it costs you. So we know what it costs us. So I'll take that, multiply it times the people that are invited on an agenda or two. And most employees said they send 2 to 3 people. Then there's been a time that only one of them goes. And then there's times that 3 or 4 go. So, but if you calculate all those expenses, so take almost 2,000 times however many people, there's been time, there's 6 members of Congress, there's probably 3 or 4 from the chief's office. I'm just basing it off of people I can recall seeing with my eyes there. And then beyond that, I don't know what, you know, I've heard comments saying, well, the executive can do whatever they want. That's true. That is true. And so I don't know, I don't really see what the problem is because removing this piece of it, because if they want to, you know, use that much in, spend that much spending on employees, then that is up to them. But this is the Congress that started this. The Congress started this with this piece of legislation saying, here, meet. And the local people that, if you've been hearing from them, are right when they say that if there was any type of, the word discriminating keeps being used, there was the local folks that were not included in this from its from the beginning of this bill. So this is the Congress saying to do this, to have this, and we'll give you money for it. So you're right. We are the power of the purse, but we are saying, this piece says we will do it. We are going to do it, and we can or cannot fund it. But the point is we're telling them that we're going to do this by this piece. Removing this piece still gives the executive the ability to do it, but it's not the Congress telling them to do it. So I would at least appreciate, and I'm also listening to, you know, everyone in attendance at the Tribal Cultural Advisors Committee meeting saying that that's how they felt about it. And I know you all have heard me say it, and I will. I spoke with Norman Akers again, who is the chair of the TCA committee, and I'm going to listen to my cultural advisors committee. You know, I spoke about it the other day that we have them for a reason. And so I'm going to listen to them just like we, you know, listen to what other boards have to say. And so I was in attendance when they had that conversation with many of the programs who are asked to attend. And again, I don't know. It's saying that there'll be up to 2,500 per meeting. And I don't even know that it's costing that. So, like I said, I've been to meetings with potlucks. I've been to meetings with a box of cookies and some punch there in a meeting space. So I think if I needed to find a meeting space here in the community, I could probably do that for not that much money. There's been times that they've done it outside at a park. I didn't ask them, but that might be free. I don't know that Williams Park would charge me up here on the hill if I wanted to have a gathering there. And so I'm going to listen to my Tribal Cultural Advisors Committee.
I'm trying to look for Norman Akers' message right now because I asked him if possibly it might make a difference that anyone would take their thoughts and comments into consideration of Mary Liz Ricketts and Jerry Shaw, George Shannon, and Norman Akers, I think, were the four in attendance. So I just thought, well, maybe if I could get a memo from them saying so, that I could pass that on to you. And he, they didn't have a meeting coming up. So he, you know, as far as an official statement from the board, you know, how it works, they would have to like vote on that. So I'm looking for his email, give me, or excuse me, text message. Can you give me 1 second, please? Okay, here we go. He tells me he does remember, recall the meeting, and I do recall there were concerns about the amount of money spent on programming at the regional gatherings. My remembrance of the discussion, what it was, that something they wanted to put on as an agenda item. He wanted to give an official statement from the committee. He wanted to, for them to get back together again. And it says, my personal perspective is we are not in the business of teaching people how to be Osage, but that there's yet a responsibility, you know, to maintain our culture and somehow educate on the history of the Osage, and then talks about the pandemic has created a need for a new or different way of delivering information and teaching. And he agrees with his words were the same as what I stated the other day. This might be a good time to consider the use of online presentations as a way of educating people outside the Osage, and this would be cost effective. And so that's the same thing I said, is that way there's not a piece of legislation sitting there saying this will happen. If I specifically use the words that this would be, this would give, you know, the executive branch could take a second look at how they've been doing this. I mean, the chiefs, that's why I read a piece of his beginning opening statement saying that things have got to change and priorities and things look differently moving forward in this pandemic. And so I specifically asked the chief as well if he would, if he planned on, he stated that he, you know, nobody would be attending regional gatherings anytime soon, and that it is a time to look at how that they could do things electronically. And I know that the programs are also working on that. We received information in the subcommittee meetings from the CARES Act money that they've got a lot of electronic stuff happening and advancing in that aspect. And so, like I said, the conversation that I had with the Tribal Culture Advisory Committee was pre-pandemic, and those were their thoughts. So I'm going to listen to them. I know that, I mean, to me, all I'm asking for is that you all at least put it out on the floor with no recommendation, because I want people to at least vote on it. I mean, I don't want to, and if it fails, then it fails. But I want people to, because I'm hearing the words this entire session, oh, we got to, you know, cut back this and that. But I don't know what everyone's worried about, if they, you know, everybody understands that the executive branch can do whatever they want anyways. Well, this piece removes telling them that this is going to happen, telling them that, you know, because obviously if that sits there, then we've got to look at that as an expense every year. So removing it allows the opportunity to reevaluate how this happens. So I don't know where it's getting misconstrued that people can't still gather, because they can. And again, at home here, we do it for free. I've, you know, sat at a meeting on, you know, under the arbor, Wake and Iron benches, a park, they've bedded a park in Skytook. So
you know, I don't know. I'm not really sure what the big uproar is, but I'm at least asking you all to put it out on the floor for a vote. I don't want this to just sit here and die in committee, if that, because I've heard different comments from members and very conflicting things. So I at least just want to take it to the floor for a vote. And if it bombs, it bombs. But I want to be able to speak and say that.
Thank you, Speaker. So it's 9:31. We've got 9 minutes, so I'll be quick. I totally support this bill, ONCA 2084, an act to repeal the Regional Gathering Fund, just because I think it's a very, it's an unnecessary establishment of a fund. Regardless, whether, I just don't want to repeat what everybody's saying, because I think everybody's losing the face value of this bill, and is that it costs the Osage Nation money for organizations to gather. And it's just that simple. That's all it is. Everybody can still gather. And again, I don't want to repeat what's already been said, but I truly believe that the establishment of this fund was a political. It was political in nature, so that it provided an avenue for our elected officials to go to these organizations to gather votes. And that's something that nobody else is saying, and I'll say it, but that's how I feel about it. And then the nation has to pay for that. And that money belongs to our people. I'm going to support this if it leaves this committee. And I want to thank the speaker for putting it out there. But as the chair, I would entertain a motion to pass it on to Congress with no recommendation, that the committee would agree.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make a motion to pass bill number ONCA 20-72 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second, Brandy.
Chair, it's not 2072, it's ONCA 2084.
Thank you, clerk.
I'm sorry,
so we
had the wrong.
That's okay. It's ONCA 2084. We have a motion with a due pass, and we have a second. Any more discussion?
I'm going to discuss if I can.
Go ahead, Congressman Walker.
Well, I've not spoken up about this, and I've heard a lot of discussion about it. I've been to Southern California, Northern California on multiple occasions, Fort Worth, Houston, on and on, never on the nation's dime, always on my dime. And I've never heard or seen anyone teaching someone how to be Osage. I mean, to me, this is getting categorized as something that it's not. That's just from my own perspective. Do I think the number of participants that the nation is sending to some of these gatherings or meetings is excessive? Yeah, I've been part of those discussions and agree. Not all the time, some of the time. I mean, I'm in favor of not funding this, but I'm not in favor of repealing it. I would even be in favor of considering a lesser amount that is located in the actual Regional Gathering Funds Act. We've done that before, if I recall. So I just wanted to say that much, you know, and to be quite frank, I'm going to be offended if I'm told that I am not listening to the Cultural Advisors Committee advice if I vote no for this, which I'm going to do, because that's not the way I see it. And it's, if that's the way they feel about it, to me, it's being categorized then to something that I disagree with. I just wanted to say that much.
Thank you, Congressman Walker. Any second other discussion?
Speaker. Second speaker, this is Alice. I'll be brief.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I agree that the cost for the fund is rather low, but I also agree that the total amount of money spent in a year is very high. Essentially, I see this as almost like a donation. And I don't know if anyone would feel any differently if this fund was repealed, but the executive office had another line item for donation. Now, opinions on donations are across the board. I asked the chief's office a few years ago to include a line item for donation for our Native American churches. The feedback I got was mixed. Some people felt like we shouldn't, and some people felt like we should contribute to that. Last year, I asked the chief's office, after speaking with a few members of the Osage Gourd Group, to be included in a line item for donations. I thought that that was worthy. I asked him to do that. He agreed. It's now included. We've all heard from constituents, tribal members, that feel like our committees shouldn't have a donation. Those opinions are across the board. I don't know if anyone would feel differently if this act was repealed, but the executive branch, you know, like I said, included a donation for gatherings. I think that if anything, this has provided us an opportunity to look at what these things are costing and how we can be more responsible in looking at the dollar amount. And I would be, I'm certainly in favor of not funding it this year, and I would be in favor of reducing it. Maybe if it was a donation line item, it's $3,000 and they get their money, and whether they meet once or twice a year is up to them. But I too will be a no vote for this, but I encourage the committee to get it out of committee to let it go for a vote on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Goodfox. So we have a motion and a second. Clerk, can you do a roll call, please?
Congressman Walker.
No.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Keene.
No.
Congressman Bickhorst.
Yes.
Congresswoman Rebar.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you. So ONCA 2084 will move to Congress with a due pass. Before we move to adjournment, I just wanted to remind the committee to please respond to your emails from the clerk regarding the committee reports on 2030, 2033, and 2084. The next item on the agenda is adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, thank you, guys.
It's already hot.